Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I mean, I first saw it because, like, a crush I had online was like, this is the best zombie movie ever. And I was like, oh, boy. And it wasn't the best zombie movie ever. But it was notable because my crush said it was really good. And it did, like, I saw it before pandemic and then I saw it after pandemic. And I was like, oof, existential loneliness. Am I right?
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies.
From people not typically depicted in scary movies. I am melting, basically. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Ditto. I'm staying hydrated, though. Mm-hmm, I am not parched.
Mm-hmm. I like your Psycho Goreman t-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
I like it, too. Titties. We're gonna pour one out, we're gonna cry with y'all, and we're gonna end this in an international way because this is our international episode.
Yeah, we're keeping it international.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
so this week I want to pour one out for Gold Shifty Farahani as Sarah in Night Eats the World. This I felt like was a really good entry into the zombie genre. This is a French film. This man attends a party. He gets locked in a room. He has to deal with an ex. And then he wakes up and all hell breaks loose. The world has suddenly turned to zombies. The night ate the world. And the reason why I wanted to pour one out for Sarah is because he spends most of this time, and I feel like I watching this during the pandemic, I felt it a little bit extra because he is completely alone. You know, like, so this gets into a little bit of the quarantine anxiety. You know, like, after a while, his food starts to dwindle. He has no social interactions. It's unlike, I think there's like that Korean movie Alive or something like that. There was like a similar theme where like you are locked in your apartment. There are no other survivors. There isn't a group. There isn't a community. There isn't any kind of like, there isn't any kind of society to be part of or return to. And one night he hears something. He thinks it's a zombie. He shoots Buckshot. It lands on this lady. Her name was Sarah. She is the first human that he's seen the entire movie since the beginning of the movie. The first actual human that he's seen. And he accidentally shoots her. He nurses her back to health. They have some kind of friendship.
Sorta.
They have some kind of friendship. She says, don't you want to get out of here? He says, yes. And then he wakes up to realize that his entire relationship with this woman, Sarah, was a figment of his imagination. And actually, he had killed her when he shot her 3/4 of the way through the film. And I just thought that was a punk ass way to die. Like, I liked the idea of imagining her being alive and maybe them finding another life or them getting to another rooftop or whatever. But like, the reality of the fact that he had like made up this entire relationship in his mind was kind of a gut punch to me. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, he never nursed her back to health. She actually died of her original wounds. And it was, I mean, and she's a woman of color. And it was like, oh, you got to do her like that.
Yeah. That's what they did.
That's what they did.
They did it.
What did you think of this film? Were you scared by it? Did you think
it was a great concept? I'm not really into films like this, but for a film that hardly had any dialogue, it was very it kept me captivated. Very original, a lot of the concepts. They had Homeboy in there. He's in a lot of those Leos Carax films, those weird experimental films. He was the guy like who became like his zombie friend or whatever. His name's Dennis Levant. What was his name in the movie? Like Arturo or something like that?
Yeah, bitches.
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed that weird relationship. I forgot about the film. Like, I had seen it before and it didn't leave an impact on me. You know, maybe it's just because, I don't know, just I watch a lot of shit. But this time it actually left somewhat of an impact.
I mean, I first saw it because, like, a crush I had online was like, this is the best zombie movie ever. And I was like, oh, boy. And it wasn't the best zombie movie ever. But it was notable because my crush said it was really good. And it did, like, I saw it before pandemic and then I saw it after pandemic. And I was like, oof. Existential loneliness. Am I right?
Yeah. You really like picking out these films. I don't know what your deal is. It's like, we're already living this, but
go ahead. It left scars.
Okay. Thanks for bringing it on us.
But anyway, yeah. So we pour one out for you, Goldshiftish Farahari, as Sarah in Night Eats the World.
All right. Our main discussion, we're talking about La Llorona. This film was nominated for an Oscar. It deserved that, you know, that nod. It was a deep story, actually. It's about
really fucking good.
Yeah.
It was really
beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It's haunting. Like they found all the elements of like how to portray like this ghost element to the story. And, they really get you into the culture of the Mayan culture and what the people went through.
Yeah.
Just through their words, you have to have a lot of patience, but you want to listen. It's like this ancient language that they're speaking. So it's like to even have the opportunity to hear them speak this language. It's like precious.
I feel like Drea and I actually wound up watching this together. It was one of the first times I'd hung out with somebody in the quarantine. And I feel like we were just kind of like flipping through movies to potentially cover. And we just kind of started it. And then 5 minutes in, it was like, no, we're watching this whole thing. Because I felt like it was like, wait, is this the Llorona? Like, is this the American La Llorona, the curse of La Llorona? It was like, we kind of like...
No, I knew the difference. You thought it was the curse.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got those mixed up.
And I was like, I kind of want to watch that movie again. And then this one started. And it's so, here's the thing. It's like, it's about the, like, indicting a war criminal for the Mayan genocide in Guatemala, right? And I feel like that was a really novel way of intertwining this ghost story and making it, like, one with real world stakes. So it wasn't just like some weird, goofy family. And also with like, I think with the senility of the main character, or like not, he's not the main character, but the senility of the dictator, like his shaky grasp, on reality kind of intertwines with this, like, is it a ghost? Is it not a ghost? In a way that I think was evocative of like what's that movie? The ghost and the lady and the thing and the...
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Oh, The Turning of the Key, right? Which in that story, is the main character crazy or is there a ghost, right? That was like...
Well, yeah, he has Alzheimer's. So you don't... Mostly everybody just believes it's just... Yeah, he's just going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Every time he's like following homegirl around the house and they walk in on him and he's got a full-on Woody. And they're just like, this motherfucker. First he shoot at me. First he shoots at me and almost like knocks my fucking head off.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's trying to attack what would it seemingly attack the housemaid.
I didn't see boners. I guess Drea is looking for
old
man boners.
Oh, there was a damn boner.
I don't be looking at old man boners. I guess Drea be looking at old man boners.
We know you just like boners in general. And just go back one episode and count how many times Tommy mentions dicks.
I didn't even. It wasn't me.
Oh, that was another Tommy.
The another thing that I really liked about this, well, because like you've got this element of, it's mostly told within the confines of this mansion. Like, basically, the general is effectively under house arrest because he's being indicted for these crimes. But also, there are humongous throngs of protesters outside. You never really escape them in the movie. Like, at a low decibel level, you can kind of always hear them. And that kind of grows. And then, like, they start throwing shit through the window. So there is this other added tension of, like, this outside threat while something inside the home is also threatening, which I thought was, like, a really cool innovation of, like, a ghost story. And
the introduction of the main character who the new housemaid who arrives. She cuts through that crowd. They couldn't have chosen a better character to play this. Like, this woman, her face is gorgeous and just hunting, and her long, flowing, dark hair. You know, they really want you to understand that there's something going on with this chick. It's blatant. And when what you effectively find out towards the end is that this general killed this woman and her children 30 years prior. So they take you back to that scene. Actually, his wife gets inhabited by her, and she ends up taking out her husband when she's inhabited by the spirit. And, you know, it kind of does them all a favor.
I mean, really.
Honestly. But it was, I mean, I didn't see any of that coming. Like, we knew she was a ghost, like, sure. But I didn't really know what the connection was. And for it to go to that.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't know if he's fucking losing it. And the whole time, he's like, petrified because he knows this face.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go back and look at the film again like that, which I did yesterday, I watched it again. It's like a different... It's a new way to watch the film because you can see him going through like, oh my God, what the fuck?
And you're right. It is also just so beautiful. Like the cinematography, like mm-hmm. when they're doing the interrogation or like the witness statements
yeah,
with the Mayan women and their
wardrobe.
Veils. Oh, it was so good.
Oh yeah. Shot beautifully.
I mean, it looks like $1 million. Like it looks expensive as fuck. It looks so well rendered. And I feel like there are even things that, If you looked at them in the trailer, they looked supernatural, but it was actually, for example, like when they're blow drying her hair and it looks like it's just floating. And then you realize like somebody was behind her, like blow drying her hair. I thought those moments were really well done and unexpected. I didn't actually, I don't know, Dre, you're really good. I think a lot of times when we watch movies together at figuring out the end by the midpoint. I feel like you're always like, oh, yeah, because they're going to do this. And I'm never like that. And I didn't feel like I could predict anything about this movie.
No. It's because it's coming from a real place. It's not just some made up hocus pocus story. I think that's why we couldn't just predict it. Also, it was just written well.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have me until the very end, I commend them. I would need to look up the writer, actually.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
What do you think about the sympathetic daughter, like the general's daughter, who was like sympathetic? She's like very neoliberal white woman.
What about her?
Like, she presents herself as an ally, right? To the main character, to the ghost. But she's also...
Oh, she's terrible.
She's also a part of the machine that oppresses these people.
When she's talking to her daughter, she's like, the daughter tells her that she has kids and she goes, oh, so young. Well, you know, natives, they have children, they have a lot of kids very early. And then her daughter corrects her and doesn't correct her. She's just like, oh yeah, they're dead. And then her mom's like, she's just like, I'm a fucking asshole, basically. And her mother, Jesus.
I mean, her mother's
straight
disaster.
Up evil.
Yeah.
Evil. And yeah, they couldn't have found a better person to play that. She should have got shot in the beginning.
I mean, I honestly thought he did shoot her in the beginning.
Yeah. No, that opening was scary. You thought she got her head blown off. But yeah, she she dug just in time.
But there is also this idea of the natives in the film who have to work for them are kind of, you know, crossing the picket line because they're, I mean, what are you going to do? They need work. They're endemically poor, right? They have no other alternative. So they have to go work for this evil white family who killed their people. And by the end, they're just like, we can't even do this anymore.
What happens is as soon as he gets indicted and gets back to the house, that's when they leave. And then the housemaid comes in. So all of them take off after that. They said, we want our benefits and we're going to go. And they're like, even based on the fact that, yeah, we're leaving this a steady job. We're going to go back to poverty. It's better than being around somebody that, you know, like you killed my people. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here cleaning your bathrooms and shit, mm-hmm. like cooking you food. Fuck that.
I also thought that sort of penultimate sequence. I mean, I'm just going to keep talking about how beautiful this movie was, but like that sort of penultimate sequence when she's in the water, in the lily pad and the thing, and like that. It's hard for me to watch these things because I've been on set. And Dre, I know you have set experience, and it's just like, I wonder how many times it took to get this take. You know, like how many times, because like when you're watching a film like this, in most films, it's easy to think of them as things that just happen. But then when you've been behind the scenes and you know, like, okay, reset, and you put it all back together and you have them jump in the water. Sometimes I'm just like, how many takes did it take to get this thing? But it was still done so beautifully. Like, it seems like an impossible task sometimes, but I felt like it lent to the ingenuity of the film.
I mean, just based on the fact that the story came across so flawlessly, maybe that lends to the fact that the actual filming of this was just as fluid. That's how it comes across. Mm-hmm. It seems like everything just kind of fell into place. Like homegirl in the movie, like she's a ghost. She's like, I believe that bitch is a ghost.
Yeah. But so beautiful.
Beyond.
I mean, beyond. Find a flaw. There's none.
I'm trying to find the name of the writers. Okay, here we go. It's the same director and then Lisandro Sanchez. So Jairo Bustamante and Lisandro Sanchez, co-writer.
So good job. Shout outs. This is a great one.
All right. Our Scream Queen of the Week. This is a good one. This one is fucking dope. Comes out of Indonesia. It's Miss Tara Basro as Maya in Impetigore. This one it's completely caught me off guard.
Oh my God.
Another really, really cool story. From beginning to end, this film is fun. It is bloody. It's well acted. Homegirl she's hot. First yeah. of all, she's just a badass bitch. She's strong. Mm-hmm. Like, she comes across so damn strong. And also, check out her Instagram. It's cute. And her boyfriend's really fucking cute, too. They're mad cute together and very stylish. So basically, she was adopted or she was raised by her relatives. And one night, this opens up with her at like a, what is that called? Like
A
toll booth.
Yeah.
And also, I love the relationship between her and her homegirl, Denny. It's like very like Puerto Rican, like the way they're talking to each other. It's like, hey, girl, like.
She's the homie.
Yeah, she's the homie. She got, and the, she's like, hold up. And she puts her phone on speaker, like, I'll get back to you in a second. You know, just very much that energy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I know these girls. Like, I trust these girls.
They want to start a clothing line.
They're hustlers. This guy is creeping her out
at
her
toll booth. That really scared me. It was terrifying.
It's very scary. So he's creeping her out. And she tells her friend. And her friend's like, well, girl, like, is he leaving? And it looks like he leaves, but he parks. And then comes up to her. And this is the one of the parts where I was just like, what the fuck? He walks up to the window and he's like, are you so-and-so? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about or whatever. But he recognizes her. And then he goes back and then he brings out a machete out of his trunk and then starts walking back to her. She locks everything. And then I'm trying to understand.
That reminded me of Body Bag, to be honest with you. Remember that homegirl with the, in the toll booth and Body Bag? It had vibes like that.
Oh, for sure. And he leaves, comes back with the machete, and that's when she runs out the booth. And it's close. Like, he almost gets her ass.
Yeah.
And it is scary.
Yeah.
Like, that whole opening sequence is terrifying.
And that was just, like, regular, real-world terror. That's not supernatural. That's not, like, somebody coming to get you.
No.
An ate a zombie and an ate a vampire. It's just a man with a knife.
Yeah. And he also takes that machete, and he opens up a wound, like, that was already there, a scar. He just cuts it open. And he doesn't get a chance to get in there. Later on, she goes into that wound and finds a piece of paper. And it says something, and it's written in Javanese, which is an older language. So she ends up going out to where she was originally from, where she was told that her family was from. And they find a graveyard full of children. Like, all these babies have died there the same day they were born. And then she sees that her family was the owner of that graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that their names have been covered up. And
well, and she brings her homie back home.
Denny comes with her. And Denny, and she has the common sense. She's like, you know what? These people are creeping me out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking we need to get the fuck out of here.
And you know what happens to people with common sense in movies like this?
They die first.
Yep,
yeah.
Right,
they're the first to go. And homegirl made the mistake of saying that she was a Raihu or whatever her name. She basically... she stood up for her friend in a way, like she thought she was protecting her, but ended up getting herself killed. And like, and the grandma took her out, like just slit her throat, hung her up and slit her throat like a chicken.
That was brutal.
It was fucked up.
That
and
was
grandma
brutal.
Was, from get-go, you could see something was off with grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because she had that weird twitch in her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing I noticed about her.
Mm.
Anyway. There's this curse that's gone over into this village where all the children are born without skin, and they can't exist this way, because if they do, they just live a life of pain. So they end up drowning the babies as soon as they're born, and it's really intense.
Really, I mean, it's like as soon as they're born,
yeah.
Like they take them out the mom and then take them out the world.
Yeah, and you have to hear like this whining sound of the baby. It's very like it affects you. Like you feel it in your chest.
Yeah,
a lot. But it turns out, I'm trying to, okay, so the story is...
Do you understand?
Well, was like a pact, some kind of pact with the devil.
So the grandma was the housekeeper at the house, and she had a baby with the king,
mm-hmm.
an illegitimate baby. So later on, he's the prince, that kid.
I mean, and the grandma has a weirdly incestual relationship with her son.
Yeah. She was jealous and put a curse on him because of a relationship that he had. And basically, she's the bitch behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of her. It's not because of his family. And once they were able to sort that out, you know, the damage is done. You know, she's already destroyed so many lives. And
what she tells that man is that, what's his name, Sopdity, that he is her biological father.
Yeah.
And then he kills himself, and then grandma kills herself.
Yeah. How that all added up, I don't recall.
Well, there are these things that are made of the dead children's skin.
Yes. There's those puppets that she makes, and then she buries the puppets, and that was part of the curse. But it's like, why did she start the curse again? It's because she was going to lose her son, right? No. She was going to lose her lover.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she put a curse on them and their firstborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what it was. Okay. Solved it.
It was engrossing. It was ambitious. It was completely fresh. I loved it. I loved our scream queen. You know what I mean? She did her job. It just sucked that Daddy had to get killed.
I was super not for that. Yeah. But hey, at least they took her out early. Didn't do some rude ass killer at the end of the situation when you think she's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a great reveal. Like when you figure out it's grandma who's kind of behind it all. Also, when homegirl finally gets out of there, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre style. She jumps on the back of a truck and she's fucking gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig that. That's a really cool like tribute.
Yeah, it definitely wore its references on its sleeve in a way that made me really appreciate, because it was obviously a film by people who love scary movies.
Yeah, yeah, and good job coming out of Indonesia. It's fucking rad. So Tara Basro. you are our Scream Queen of the Week. Look forward to seeing you in some other shit, girl.
Yeah, come on now.
Gross.
Excuse me.
You're not excused.
That was another successful episode of your favorite podcast, Scream Queen. We are produced by Alex and Kenya at Domino Sound. I am Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, H-E-Y-T-E-E-B-S on Instagram because I quit Twitter.
And this is Drea Washington. You can find me on the gram at Hey Girl Hey. That's H-E-Y-G-R-L-H-E-Y.
And you can find our podcast on the gram at Scream Queen Podcast.
And in the scary movie of your life,
you better scream, Queen!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.